How many of you are blessed to be here tonight on a nice Sunday evening? Well, praise God. As was mentioned, there's going to be the Wednesday night at 7:30, starting August 24th, I believe. Not Wednesday, but the following Wednesday. And so tell everyone, it's going to be a powerful time. And tonight I'm going to be teaching on inheritance. And it's not going to necessarily be exactly what you thought. It's going to be even better. No, it's amazing. It fits right in with everything, all the testimonies and the word and the prayer that James gave about stepping out. Because in case you don't know this, your part of your inheritance is stepping out. And that's why so many Christians, hopefully not in this church, hopefully not in Sunday night crowd, but body of Christ wide, even here tonight, some people, they want more of God, they want all these things, and so they hear all kind of teaching and they hear all kind of messages about you already have God living in you and all these types of things. And sometimes the thing that is missing in our lives, is not understanding that sometimes the thing that's missing, if there's anything missing, is simply us using what we have. I don't know about you, but have you ever heard of the Dead Sea? You know why it's a Dead Sea? Because it has no outlet. It only receives, and it never gives out. That's why it's dead. How many of you have ever stepped out, you thought you had nothing to share, but when you stepped out, you were amazed what you had to share? And so tonight I'm going to be talking about inheritance. And there's no way for me to talk about everything, okay? I have about 30 minutes. And so I'm going to be moving quickly as possible. So I have a lot to say, and I'm going to say a whole lot in a short period of time, so everyone listen quickly. Seriously? Is that a joke? Let's turn over to Acts chapter 20. And this is a revelation that God gave me a few years ago that really just lit my fire. And if what I'm sharing tonight, if it does not light your fire, guess what? Your wood's wet. Acts chapter 20, and let's look at verse 32. And this is Paul speaking, and Paul says, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." How many of you are sanctified? Raise your hand. Okay, the rest of you, we'll be having an altar call after today's message, after tonight's message. If you're born again, you're sanctified. Hello. If you missed that understanding, a few weeks ago, Pastor Steve talked on a morning about that. You can download that. That was a very great, that was one of the best messages I've heard on that, on sanctification. You spell my name S-E-A-N, I'll check later. But it says here that He wants to commend you to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So Paul's talking to you here. But what I want you to notice is that he says the first thing that needs to happen for you to walk in your inheritance is you have to be under the word of grace. Hello. And here's why. A lot of people, they've been going to church for years, and they've been going to church for years and years and years. And we have a group on Monday nights, and I don't say this to embarrass anyone, he's not here. But he's been in the church for 30-something years, I believe. A cell leader, all these things. And after just two sessions, if you want to put it that way, Monday evening groups, he said he's seen the Word in a whole new way he's never seen before, and he's recognized that he's been a lukewarm Christian his whole life and didn't even know it. And let me tell you why. Underneath a message that is not the message of grace, which is a person of Christ and what He's done for you, not what you have to do for Him. Because once you discover what God's done for you, and He freely has your heart, because now you understand just how good God is, you will do more for Him than you ever did before. And before, you were trying to do something for God and it bore no fruit. Now You're just living out of what Christ has done in you, and it bears fruit without even really much effort. How many have discovered that? So he said, I didn't know I was lukewarm. He was faithful in the church, folks. It has to be the word of grace, the message of grace, the gospel of grace that establishes you so that you can walk in the inheritance. Because until you're under the true message of grace, you are too busy trying to become something, to be qualified, to receive the inheritance, and you never quite get there. How many have discovered that? As soon as you jumped over this hurdle, you saw there was another one. It's like in a mountain range. You see one peak, you don't see all the other ones behind it. So you feel like a king, you get to that peak, and all of a sudden you look up and go, there's more. So you have to be under the right message. That is why this is a prelude to what's going to happen on Wednesday, because you will never experience your true potential and true joy until you start to walk in your inheritance. Shaka Zulu. Amen. Amen. Because listen, folks, and I want to explain what the inheritance is. As long as you think your inheritance is material things, you've already lost. Your inheritance is not a nice house. Your inheritance is not a nice job. Your inheritance is not a nice salary or a nice car or a nice washing machine. You know why? As soon as you get that nice house, how many of you have got a nice car? You wanted a nice car, you end up getting a nice car, you're happy, but it doesn't last. Now you got to fix, especially when that car breaks. So we need to look at what is our inheritance. But we have to be under the right message, and I don't have time to talk about all those things, but during these sessions on Wednesday, we're going to be talking about many different topics. We're going to be scratching the surface on many of them, but it's going to give you enough to change your life. And for those of you who have heard a lot of these things, you're going to get insights you haven't had before. How do I know that? Because I know how the Holy Spirit works. You're going to receive insights you've never had before, and you're going to go to new levels in your experience. Not new levels in reality, because you're already in Christ. You can't get any more in than you are. But in your experience, you're going to start to see and start to be able to walk in the things that God wants for you. I don't know about you, but I want to walk in what God has for me. How many of you want to do that? Amen. I don't know if you've discovered this, but this life we have on this earth, it's it. It's not a trial run. It's not practice. It's not a rehearsal. This is it. Now, the good news is that no matter where you are on your timeline or life scale, no matter if you're 18, no matter if you're 88, when you get under the right word of God, when you get under the right message, and you start believing correctly, God can put you right where you need to be. Even if you've been on the wrong track your whole life, God can change that. He can. And that's what I love about God, that His gifts and His callings are irrevocable. They're without repentance. God never takes them back. You've never blown it so bad, you've never gotten too old that now you just might as well just give up and give it to the next generation. Yes, we all need to rise up. The next generation needs to grab a hold and take the responsibility in Christ and be who God wants them to be. But it's never too late until you go to be with heaven, with Jesus in heaven. And even then, it's not too late. It's just on time. Think about it. Let's go over to Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Because I got a lot to say, and I need to say it. Because if not, I'll expound on every verse and talk about this and give testimonies and all kind of things. Let's go to Colossians 1 and verse 12. It says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Now, if that isn't one of your favorite scriptures, it should be. It says, He has qualified us. We have not qualified ourselves. He qualified us and made us to be able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So here we have this inheritance again. So who's the one who's qualified us? He has. Through what? The blood of His everlasting covenant. That is what has made you qualified. That's good news. Man, I tell you, sometimes you tell some people who don't know this message, and they sometimes they get upset. So why have I been doing this Why have I been doing this all along if this hasn't been what's qualified me? I said, I don't know. You tell me. But instead of getting upset, say, hallelujah. Has it been working? Be honest. No, it hasn't. Hasn't been working. When your focus is on yourself, you will never get around to walking in your inheritance. You're too busy looking to me. But when you look to Jesus, doesn't there a verse like around Hebrews 12, verse 1 says that? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Looking unto Jesus. The answer to victory, folks, is looking unto Jesus. Keeping him as the focus, not ourselves. Not our successes, not our failures. You know, looking at your own successes is just as much of a hindrance as looking at your own failures. It really is. Remember the good old days, Steve, when God used to do this in our lives? You've already lost. Because that's not God's fault it stopped. We're in the good days. I love that song, Let It Rain. One time I remember I'm thinking about the song because how does it gel with what we know? The truth of the gospel. And all of a sudden I started getting these ideas that is not our song to God, it's God's song to us. Ooh. I don't have time to teach on authority, but God has given us the ability because of what He's done. When we walk in who we are and know who we are, we can release the floodgates of heaven into this earth. We're not waiting on God. God's waiting on us. Those who know their God shall do great exploits. Remember that message? Amen. It's raining. Let it rain. Let's go to Romans chapter 8 real quick. If I don't finish this tonight, we'll see. Romans chapter 8 and verse 17. Verse 16 says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. How many of you have that witness in your spirit? That you're a child of God? You're supposed to. If you're born again, you know it. Sorry. You know it. If you don't know it, you either have been talked out of it or you're not born again. If you're born again, you know it. It's not, I hope so. No, you know it. There's no hoping so in that sense. I hope so. I'm trying to do the best I can. No, you know it. So it says, and if children, verse 17, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. I don't know about you, that sounds pretty good. But notice it says, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Now in context, this suffering is not talking about sickness and poverty and all those things. It's talking about the fellowship of His sufferings. It's amazing how many people say, oh, the Christian life is a life of suffering. And they look to all their failures and all their pains and all their sicknesses and their diseases and they're poor and they're this and they're that. Folks, that's not the sufferings. The sufferings it's talking about is being a laughingstock of this world and also being ridiculed by those who were hanging on to the law. It's the fellowship of His sufferings. What were His sufferings? He came unto His own and His own received Him not. There will be times when you minister to people, and anyone who's been in ministry or who's ever ministered to people long enough will tell you that it's sad that this is true, and I'm not saying this to discourage anyone, but sometimes the people you help the most are the ones who end up hating you the most. And you know, how does this happen? That's what happened to Jesus. It's the devil. To get you to be discouraged so that you don't do it no more, so you become offended. And if that's what it is, pour out my life into them. And that's what happens. They turn against me. I'm just going to go climb up and become a hermit and go climb in my shell. And just, I'm not doing this no more. If that has never ever crossed your mind, you haven't been ministering very long. I'm not saying this to discourage you. I'm saying this to help you. But notice it says that we're joint heirs with Him. So I need to move on. I have way too much to say. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. I may not even get into the meat of the message tonight. But in Romans chapter 4, let's look at verse 13. It's talking about Abraham. It said, for the promise that he would be heir of the world. What does it say? Heir of the world. I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty good. That sounds big. Sounds massive. So how come as Christians we settle for such little and such for less? Well, that's talking to Abraham. Okay, let's keep reading. For the promise that he would be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect, because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. How many of you are of the faith of Abraham? How many of you are a child of faith? This says that this same promise is to you. Oh, brother, you just have to understand what the Bible's talking about. That promise is to Abraham. I said, yes, it was, and it's to me too. What does this say? There goes that conversation and argument, folks. Don't let people tell you. When the Bible says it's yours, don't let them tell you that it was talking to Abraham. Say, it's right. But it's also talking to me. Says it right here. I don't know if you ever, sometimes you go up against some people and you're excited about the things of God and you start talking to them and all of a sudden it's like they're trying to pour water on your flame, your fire. That's why we need to know what the Bible says. Because when you know what this says, no one can talk you out of it. But if it's somewhere down there someplace, I think I read it once, they can talk you out of it. Now let's go over to Galatians, because it talks about seed. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. And I'm going to speed this message up. Galatians chapter 3. Let's look at verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, folks, this portion of the inheritance is talking about being born again and having Christ live on the inside of you. That's what that's talking about. You can't work for it. You have to receive it by the message of grace, by believing in it. Verse 15 says, brethren, I speak in the manner of men, though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it's confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, plural, seed, singular. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. Now, where does Christ live? I'm suggesting to you, folks, and we're going to look at this in 1 minute, but Christ now lives inside of you, so everything promised to Christ is promised to Christ in you. Notice what I said. I didn't say to you, apart from Christ. You can't walk in the inheritance apart from Christ. It has to be in Christ. All the promises of God are yes in Him and amen in Him. One time, Andrew Womack signed a letter that said, in Christ, and he put it in brackets, and I'm not coming out. You know, you put it in Christ and you put your name in parentheses, I think, in parentheses, and I'm not coming out. I was like, man, I love that. Why? Because so many Christians come out. Not literally, you can't actually have Christ come out of you. But in their experience and what they're pursuing and where their minds are focused in on most of the time. And let's look at verse 17. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. You received this inheritance by believing in the message of Jesus. That's the only thing that qualifies you from walking in this. That's good news. That's a good place to say hallelujah. Because if it's up to me, I don't know about you, but I'm just being honest. I'm not getting anything if it's up to me. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. Let's go there real quick because I want to look at, there's different things in inheritance. I can sit here and teach different aspects of inheritance, but I'm focusing on one element tonight. I got to move. But Genesis chapter 15, how many remember God told Abraham, get out from among your people, among your kindred, and go to a land that I shall show you? And people say the land wasn't his inheritance. That was only the portion of the inheritance of this natural realm, but that was not his inheritance. The inheritance was being declared righteous by faith. That was the inheritance. Now let's look at Genesis chapter 15. Because if we're not careful, the truth of the matter is that God desires for His people to be blessed. He does. You have to come on Wednesday nights, folks. I'm going to be here. Seriously, and I can't wait. I can't wait to hear what God has to say. Somebody say, you mean what you have to say? No, what God has to say. You have to start looking at yourself like that. That when you are walking in what God has called you to do and what God has shown you to do, it is Him doing it, or else it doesn't produce. So you need to be here on Wednesday nights because I'm going to start going through some things. And one of the topics, and you should get excited, is about prosperity and giving. Because when you understand the inheritance, you'll start to see the reason why God wants you to prosper. It's not so you can have more than your neighbor, so your neighbor gets jealous and wants to be a Christian so they can be blessed too. I'm sick of that message. The world's waiting for a wealthy church. They won't get saved for in a poor church. Lie. The world isn't waiting for wealth from the church. They're already running after it themselves. They don't need us. If you look on the list of the 10 top most wealthiest men in the world, they're not Christians. They're not waiting on us, folks. Don't be deluded. Why would they come to us for something they can get? Prosperity is not the inheritance. It's what is produced from the inheritance for the purpose of getting the inheritance. Hello? I'm about to show you in the aspect of tonight's message what I'm talking about. You in suspense yet? So we'll continue tomorrow. Let's go to Genesis chapter 15, because if we're not careful, we'll look at this natural realm and everything in it as our inheritance and as our goal. Man, this is a rebellious thing here. He must like the message. We have to keep, folks, in the Christian life, in our relationship with God, in our walk with God, we have to keep first things first. Because if we don't, it will not keep itself first for us. And our relationship with God, God looking down upon us and saying, I love my creation. I want to be their God. I want to live in them. Not far off someplace, but in you. God's not far off. He's living in you. So we have to keep first things first. And if you're not careful, you will get turned aside being busy at work as if your work is your inheritance. And let me just say this. I'll just give you throw a nugget out there. But your job is not to meet your needs. What you do for a living is not, God does not intend that to be what you do to meet your needs, because God is the one who's your source. If you look at the New Testament, what you do with your hands is so that you have something to give. See, that's a whole new wrinkle many people haven't even thought of. Because until you see it that way, you don't have the right motive to prosper. Because until that's your motive and understanding, your prosperity is for this natural realm. This is my inheritance. And every time it's time to take up the offering, on the inside, maybe don't do it on the outside, and if I'm hitting the nail on the head, it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit. I don't know what's going on in your heart. But if the plate comes by and you say, oh, here it comes again, you're showing that you don't have the right understanding. No condemnation, folks. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying none of that stuff. But it reveals that you don't have the right understanding. And folks, every single one of us could have that seed of that of that thought come to us, especially if we're struggling in a certain area financially. Oh, here it comes again. You have to stop yourself and take that thought obedience to Christ and say, no, I'm blessed. And that is not a thought that a blessed man has. That is not a thought that God has given me. That's the flesh. That's the devil. I don't know where it came from, but I'm not receiving it. I will continue to walk in the right understanding. So you have to come Wednesday. I have a few minutes. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 says, and after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. Isn't fear one of the main driving factors in life? If we're honest, how am I going to pay this bill? What happens if I step out and do what I feel like God's telling me to do and it doesn't work and I fall flat on my face? Fear, whether we acknowledge it or not, is one of the main driving factors, and I can prove it. There's thousands of verses where it always begins with, fear not, fear not. You ever notice God doesn't blast you for your fear? He just says, don't fear, believe me. Wow. Here God says, fear not, don't be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. So who is Abram's reward? God. I am your shield. I am your very great reward. Not your stuff. It wasn't the land God was giving him. It wasn't that he said, I'm going to make kings and nations out of you. And I don't have time tonight. I ran out of time. But I was about to get to good stuff. Because we need to understand that Jesus's inheritance and our inheritance is depending on us receiving it. Just real quick. Let's go to Psalm chapter 2. Can you last 5 more minutes? I try to be conscientious of everyone's time. I know there's school tomorrow and all these things. And I don't consider myself as a long-winded preacher, but some may, especially James there. Psalm chapter 2. In case you don't know, Psalm chapter 2 is a messianic psalm. It's talking about what Jesus was going to do when he came. Talking about the promises to Christ. Psalm chapter 2. Let's look at verse 7. It says, I will declare the decree the Lord has said to me. You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Verse 8. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, the ends of the earth for your possession. You see that? The nations are the inheritance of what Jesus came for. And since Christ is in us, and we're in Him, and we're joint heirs, we will never walk in our inheritance until we see that our whole life, now listen to me, I'm not getting unbalanced here because first things first, God's your reward. But our whole life should be geared towards receiving the nations as our inheritance. In whatever facet God gives to us. For me, it's a teacher. For Steve, it's pastoring. For you, it may be a kingdom builder, a kingdom business. For you are raising finances to partner with the gospel to receive the nations as inheritance. We all have so many different jobs that we do, folks. Some people God puts in their heart to do an orphanage and different things like that. But everything that we do, our mindset should be for Jesus to be able to receive the nations through us. Let's go to a few more verses. I'm going to prove this to you. But in Mark 1:38, we don't have time to go there, but Jesus, it says, and he went to another village. He said, for this cause, for this purpose I have come. And he went to another village and preached the gospel there also. Different places in the New Testament where it says that. But let's go to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, and I'll try to finish on this one because this is mind-blowing to me. This is where God used this scripture to start this whole thing off in me. But in Isaiah 42, this is talking about Jesus. Okay? Remember, the Bible says in Psalm 2, it's a messianic chapter. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. Jesus, when he came, he always went and preached the gospel. He said, I have to go to the villages. For this is the purpose I've come. He always went. And in Isaiah chapter 42, man, this is just awesome. You guys ready? Isaiah 42 verse 1 says, behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles, to the nations. Folks, this is talking about Jesus. Justice here is talking about reversing. I want everyone to listen to this. Justice is talking about reversing everything that sin and Satan produced in this world. Sickness, disease, poverty, rejection, hate. But notice it says, he put his spirit upon him and he will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will, Jesus. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. Verse 4, he will not fail, nor be discouraged till he has established justice in all the earth. How much of the earth? and the coastlands shall wait for his law. Now jump down to verse 6. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the peoples, as a light to the Gentiles. Do you see that? I will and will make you to be a covenant. Folks, God did not make a covenant with you. Better news. He made a covenant with Jesus. You got in on it. You know why? Because you would have messed it up just like everyone else did. You would have messed it up like Abraham. Adam, you know, Abraham didn't do everything perfectly. You would have messed it up like Adam did. You would have messed it up like the children of Israel did. So God didn't make a covenant with you. He made a covenant with Jesus and said, I will make you as a covenant. I'm going to give you, Jesus, when you come, I'm going to give you as a covenant to the nations. And guess what? Jesus can never fail. That's why we've been sanctified once and for all through the blood of his everlasting covenant. Now, I have a question for you. If the Bible says here in Isaiah 42 that Jesus is not going to rest, and Jesus is going to be as a covenant, given as a covenant to all the nations, and Jesus is going to bring forth justice throughout all the nations. If that's what the Bible says, and we just read it, it says that, doesn't it? Let me ask you this question. When Jesus was walking on the face of the earth, did he ever go to the Gentile nations? Did he? Only one time, lady asked him, would you please heal? He said, hey, it's not good to give children's bread to dogs. He wasn't knocking her. He was just stating the fact. He wasn't there for that time for the Gentiles. He was there to fulfill the covenant, which is death to the lawbreaker. He didn't break the law, but we did. So he died our death. So we know he never went to the Gentiles. So how is Jesus going to receive the nations as his inheritance and bring forth justice to all the nations when he himself never went? I'm challenging you today. He's going in us. He is going, but in us. So when we start to recognize that Jesus' inheritance is are the nations, and when we start to recognize that that's our inheritance, it will start to produce boldness to step out. Because we know we're not going, he's going, we're just tagging along. It wants to go. This wants to go. Can you see this? I don't know about you, but this lights my fire. Because Jesus has partnered with us. He said, my people, when they grab a hold of the right message, they're going to be so on fire for me that they're going to bring me because I'm in them. And everywhere they go, I'm going to touch people. So when you preach, it's him preaching through you to people. When you lay your hands on people, it is Jesus laying his hands on people through you. And I have about a whole lot more to say, but we're out of time. Got to come back Wednesday night. I don't know about how many of you got excited tonight besides me. This wasn't one of those old messages. You got to reach the lost for Jesus. You got to do more. You got to do more. No. You just have to let Jesus do more through you. Everywhere you go, be aware that Christ is in you, ready to touch people. And just let that, just let him flow out. Touch people through you. Amen.